When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Jacob's Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport.
Hello and welcome to another edition of our World Cup podcast. Back home with me, Paul Hawksby.
And me, Andy Jacobson, on another ridiculously dramatic day at the tournament. We'll reflect on how South Korea and the ref made Luis Suarez cry. We'll discuss a shock win for Cameroon over favourites Brazil and how Switzerland and Serbia tried to keep politics out of football and failed.
Plus, we'll be joined by Aussie international defender turned talkie coach Aaron Downs ahead of their game against Argentina tomorrow. We'll chat to African football expert Kwaku Afari, and we'll wonder just how big a miss Karen Bennett has been in Qatar.
All right.
Well, that's intrigued you, isn't it, Andy?
Who's Karen Bennett?
Well, you'll find out in a minute. Okay. You'll have to keep listening, won't you?
Good.
Well, again, fresh from this evening's games. I started off with Brazil-Cameroon, but after about 35, 40 minutes, I realised I was watching the wrong game. Brazil B weren't up to much.
No, I went with Serbia-Switzerland, which was a good decision. Yeah. And I didn't think there was much on the other game. So, you know, I thought that this was the game to watch. And it was exciting. It was.
It was.
I don't know if you noticed, though. I was saying to John just before we started, the third goal for Switzerland, which was a lovely goal, actually, team goal. The commentary was ahead of the pictures.
It was. I wrote that down. I was thinking the commentator's a real sage. You can spot that. He's obviously a striker. He plays as a striker because he called the finish. But then after that, it was in sync again because I was looking for it was. I mean, they say they're trying to keep politics out of football. As we know, in the previous World Cup, we had issues, didn't we, with Xhaka and Shaqiri. Were both making their feelings known from a political point of view around Kosovo to the Serbian players. And, did you see it was a beautiful crotch grab by Xhaka when it was all going off?
Krocic.
Krocic. Yeah, that's right. It was
he could play it.
They were getting... They tried to keep politics out of it, but there's a real edge to it. It was spiky for that reason, and it was good. But isn't Mbolo a good player? I mean, it's been a lot of talk about him over the years, and he played in Germany. He's at Monaco now, isn't he?
It's
a sort of player that you think would do very well in the Premier League, but I know clubs have looked at him for years, but very good. Right game. Did you see what happened to Abubakar, though? And we'll talk to Kwaku about this. Took his shirt off, having been already booked off.
I mean, very funny, wasn't it?
It was the end of his World Cup. He didn't care, but what a mad thing to do.
It was mad, because if Serbia had scored, they were through. So, you know, it was a bit of a mad thing to do. But like Gianni Infantino, he looks like he's sort of sick of all this football, and he's on his phone the whole time.
Yeah. You used to work in the menswear trade, Andy, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, and so you could pass comment on Jack Grealish's dad's John Ball waistcoat and bow tie. Have you seen pictures of it?
I haven't. I've read about it, but I haven't actually seen
Union Jack waistcoat matching bow tie. Jack was horrified when he saw his dad wearing it in the crowd. His mum made dad take the bow tie off, but he thinks it's now a lucky waistcoat. We're in Gareth.
Well,
and he's going to keep wearing it, much to Jack's disgust.
But then he should be wearing St. George's waistcoat.
I know, but he's gone Union Jack. He's gone
well, Union fine.
Jack.
Yeah. He's got that wrong. Talking of lucky mascots, the Sun have described Chesney Hawkes as England's lucky mascot.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the only thing lucky about this is Chesney getting all this attention. Because the Sun have really, like, they've ambushed him. They've really ambushed his success. They're flying him back after the gig. Harry Mayne had a hug with him.
Yeah.
Chesney plans to invite him on stage. Not Harry Kane, but Harry Mayne.
Yes,
it's great, isn't it? Ridiculous.
It's who knows? I mean, it's going to be a couple of weeks. They'll probably bring out a Christmas version of the one and only. They'll put some sleigh bells on it and then hurry out a new version of that. John Stones, he's adopted Dave the Cat. Have you seen that? He's been feeding the cat and he's been getting a little bit of stick. He's the cat man of the souk. And I think it's a lovely story. Apparently he's been getting a lot of stick from his teammates.
Yeah.
But I think it's Tony the cat's called, isn't it? And he has befriended.
No, it's Dave.
The cat's called Dave
because we had that thing with Charlie. Remember that letter somebody wrote in from Barnsley and said it should be called Tyke because he's a Barnsley lad and he got all annoyed about it.
Last week.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah, Dave the Cat. So well done on John Stones for being a cat lover. Take no notice of your teammates. You're doing all right. Yes, Karen Bennett at the World Cup. Are we missing Karen Bennett? Because she would have been fantastic had she been there. This is from Ali Ross. He likes to look sometimes at the titles for people that need subtitles all the time. Mm. That's quite a lot of fast typing during a football match.
I know Karen Bennett is.
Karen Bennett is Karim Benzema.
Of course it is, yeah.
And that's what happens when someone's typing it in quickly. They said, I think we're all really missing Karen Bennett at this World Cup. So shame that Karen's not there.
I enjoyed the Ghanaian MP that blamed Harry Maguire for the state of their economy.
We may run this past Kwaku as well. He was just drawing analogies about the finance minister, which was all a little bit odd. And unless you're a Liverpool fan or indeed a Uruguay fan, is there any finer sight in football than Luis Suarez crying? It was I took a great deal of, I shouldn't really, I took a great deal of pleasure from after what had happened in the first game and his reaction to it all those years ago. It was quite nice to see him there with his head and his shirt in tears. Is that cool?
No, well, not really, but I can't share your joy because I had £5 on Uruguay at 40-1. So I was really hoping they were going to... I was quite annoyed that South Korea scored, basically.
I mean, a career of... a lifetime of S-housery. And although, Ghana went out today, at least they had the joy of seeing Suarez desperately upset. I mean, I would imagine they're going to have to play a few games behind closed doors. You can't start manhandling the officials the way they did at the end.
No, definitely not.
They had a bit of a point, didn't they? Because the Cavani, I mean, look, you've seen lesser penalties given. It would have been a soft one and he made the most of it, but you've seen lesser ones given. Had he given it, VAR wouldn't have overturned it. So,
yeah, I was biased. I thought it was a penalty, but there you go. There have been some strange ones today. What was the VAR in the game was that? I've watched so many games. It was Ghana versus Uruguay. Yeah, the one that Ayew missed.
Yes.
It's a strange penalty as well, because he played for it.
He bought the penalty, didn't
he?
He just went over the body. He thought, I'm not going to reach the ball, so I'll just get myself thrown over the body, which was a bit of a strange one.
That's been the loser in this World Cup, because there's been some good football. You're all right. The politics, and we've known about it for 12 years. But if the football's been great, but the VAR, the decisions have been really poor.
Yeah. I think yesterday the entire football world went mad. After the game last night, the Japan game last night, we had a situation where lots and lots of people went outside and got some kind of decorator's tape, put it on their kitchen floor, got a football, laid that on the floor as well, took that football from lots of different angles and were saying, see?
These people are pathetic.
But
there was thousands of people who did it. Because the one shot that you can see in all of their things is the ball is clearly over the line. Yes, if you move the camera, it looks like it isn't over the line. But there's clear daylight. That's the one thing you can't fake. Clear daylight between the ball and the goal. And also, it depends on what frame you take. If you take one frame earlier, it's definitely over the line. If you take the frame, that's why it's all a load of old rubbish, really. It's not helping.
But the amount of partners of football fans said, what are you looking for? What are you doing? Come and sit down. I'm just looking for some decorator's tape. I'm just going to put it in the kitchen. Why have you got a football? Well, I'm going to take pictures of it from different angles. Then I'm going to put it on Twitter and say, see? And then, have you got anything better to do? I mean, rubbish, thousands and thousands of people did it. And after you'd seen about the 4,000th person did it, what's the point?
Really? No point. Thank goodness we didn't have social media in 1966.
No, it would have been a bit of a nightmare. Anyway, you got one more?
Yeah, Serb players. Gooday, he should move to Australia.
He certainly should.
The goalie, Vanya, I'm his nephew. Yes, he's my uncle, Vanya.
That's it.
You can have some more later.
Talk Sport. Hawksby and Jacobs' daily World Cup podcast from Talk Sport.
So tomorrow night, Argentina play Australia, and we thought we would preview that game now in the company of a man who has played international football for Australia. He played for Torquay and Chesterfield at the back, amongst other clubs, and he's currently one of the coaches at Torquay with Gary Johnson. We're joined by Aaron Downes. Good afternoon. I keep saying that. I keep thinking I'm working in the afternoon.
Even though it's dark and we've been doing this for 2 weeks.
Even though it's dark, I'm still saying you spend 20 years working between 1 and 4 in the afternoon. You keep saying afternoon. But anyway, it's afternoon somewhere.
Yes.
Aaron, that's one of the things we're going to talk about, of course, because we saw the crowds in February in Melbourne going absolutely mad at 3 in the morning. And the game tomorrow against Argentina, it's going to be a similar sort of thing. It's going to be, for some parts of Australia, 3, 4. Maybe if you're in Melbourne, it might be 6 or 7 o'clock. But it's going to be an early start for Australian football fans.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can see the enthusiasm that the Aussie fans had at 3 in the morning. You know, it was a 2 o'clock kickoff. So it'll be 6 o'clock tonight. So it's a little bit easier for most of them. So I'm sure Federation Square will be packed out again. But, you know, the enthusiasm was massive. And they got their rewards in the end, you know, because the result was fantastic. Got us through to the knockout stages.
Yeah.
Now, Argentina haven't set the world alight so far. Of course, they've got Lionel Messi and they've got some great players. So what can Australia do? Can they take heart from Saudi Arabia, what they did?
Absolutely. I mean, you've seen over the last couple of days, it's sort of the tournament for the underdogs a little bit. You know, there's so many upsets that's happened at the minute. Now, a few of them have happened late on where teams have changed and maybe they've qualified already and getting a few run out for a few sort of players in their squad. But you can see that first game is massive and they usually play their best team, and Saudi Arabia deservedly won the game. So Australia can take heart. And one thing, I had a little chat with all of our friends, everybody's friend, the Moose, before the tournament started, and we had a conversation, and I said, what you can expect from Australia is their attitude, their determination, their commitment. They never know when they're beat. We're going to be organised. Arnie's going to get them organised, and we're going to be committed, and we won't give up. So even if we're 1-0 up, 1-0 down, you know, 10 minutes to go, you know we're going to stay in and hang on in there, and we work hard. We ran more than any other team in the games we've played. So that's what we've got. We've got an enthusiasm, an energy, a determination, a commitment, a team spirit, all the things that are needed for a team that might not have the stars of, say, Messi or Neymar or whatever.
But you could see them maybe getting their noses in front, then all the pressure's on Argentina. And we've seen, as you said, with Australia, with Suter and stuff, that, you know, they're very well organised, decent at the back. And you could see as time went on, if the goal wasn't coming, them getting ever more desperate. But I think Australia probably do need to score first if they can.
Yeah, but the biggest thing is just hanging on in there. You see, against France, we scored really early, and it was sort of, you know, it was sort of like we all got a little bit giddy, but it was because we scored so early, we're probably, our mentality was to try and hang on in there. Whereas at 0-0, so I think that'll suit us more, to hang on in there at 0-0 as long as we can. And then maybe, as you say, keep them sort of show a bit desperate, and then we can catch them on the counter-attack, like we did the other night to get the 1-0 win. So I think keeping it 0-0 is probably a little bit better than going 1-0 up too early, because we would then just retain a retreat and give up too much territory, and it'd be a problem to handle.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure on Argentina, a lot of pressure on Messi. Mm. He knows it's his last World Cup. And they've played like that. A lot of the good teams have done that. Yeah. Till they've scored, they've been nervous and hesitant. Once they get a goal, if they score first, it could be difficult for Australia, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. But the biggest thing, like I said, is for us just to hang on in there as long as possible. Even at 1-0, there's still a chance of taking it longer and into the match. And the stadium, we qualified at that stadium for the World Cup against Peru in a penalty shootout. So all I'm saying is that we keep
like in a there, home game.
Hang on, you never know. Because what we do is we'll bring on Andy Redmond late on in the extra time, and he's a little bit of a penalty specialist. So we've got that up our sleeve.
Yeah, of course. I mean, people saw what he did in qualifying. You know, he's quite a character, isn't he? I mean, it'd be nice if he gets a little cameo in a penalty shootout where he's dancing on the line. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, add a bit of drama to the tournament, that's for sure. Yeah.
So what's it been like? There's obviously games are continuing. We're chatting to you now. You've got Dagenham Redbridge tomorrow, Torquay. Mm-hmm. And so has it been odd? Has it been hard to sort of focus and for the players at times? You've got to kind of get on with the bread and butter of your league football in the National League, yet there's a World Cup going on.
It is a little bit surreal. It's sort of, you'll be watching, I don't know, Brazil, Cameroon, and at the same time you've got Dagenham South End on your iPad, sort of, so it's trying to do your research at the same time and trying to watch the World Cup games. But, it's never a problem. You're watching football matches. You love it. So it's been good. It's been great to have it. It's been different having it in the winter. We've not been able to sort of relax and watch it with friends. You're sort of watching it as and when you can, really, because there's a lot of games on, especially at 10 o'clock. So the lads are getting in the morning when we had the 10 o'clock games. And there was moments I'd be up on the training ground and I'd be looking at me watch going, where is everyone? And the gaffer's got them all down in watching the game. And I'm like, I come back down, where is everyone? And he's like, it was a good start to the game, Downsy. So it's like, we'll wait till half time, shall we? Oh, okay, no worries. So, but it's been good. It's been good, but it is difficult trying to make sure you're still doing your job, but at the same time watching the games because, we all grew up watching the World Cup. You've still got that, desire to watch every game possible. And there's a lot of games on. So but it's been good. I've really enjoyed it. And what's been really good is the last couple of nights, the drama that every night's bringing with the group stage is coming to an end. It'd be terrible if they changed it to the three-team group stage.
Oh, they'll find a way of ruining. As somebody who doesn't have VAR at your level, you must be so grateful. What have you made of that?
It's baffling at times because a lot of decisions, I mean, the clear-cut ones like goal line technologies, been great until the other night when we have another anomaly that we need to all probably look at as far as going out on the byline. But VAR is still, it's subjective. It's somebody's opinion at the end of the day. So it's not really cleared anything up. It's just allowed somebody to look at it a little bit slower and go,
that's what I think. Yeah,
I think this. Well, it's all right. Well, so it's everybody's opinion at the end of the day. So it's still never going to clear up, really. It delays the game at times. The clear cut, the really clear, obvious errors, it's good for. It does stop them, But you'd like to think nowadays, I think in general, the refereeing's been okay. I think the VAR's spoiled some good refereeing decisions myself. Yeah. But we don't have to deal with that. So I'm thankful of that.
And finally, it's going to be difficult for you to watch the game because if you're going back down to Torquay from Dagenham after the match. It's kicking off at 7 o'clock. So you'll be watching on the coach, I take it.
Yeah, I'll be watching on the coach. I'll probably end up at my stop around kickoff time. So it's a little bit, we moved, all these games have been moved around because they weren't sure where England was going to finish and they were trying to make sure they didn't coincide with England games. And in the end, we got a 12:30 kickoff for no real reason. And I'm going to end up clashing with the Australian game. But whatever happens, I'll definitely be watching it somewhere. And whether it's on the iPad on the coach or stopping in a services and for an hour and a half watching it, I don't know. But I'll definitely get to watch it, that's for sure. And really looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Well, Aaron, good luck against Dagenham and Redbridge tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
No, thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
And, of course, they're playing Argentina. And it was a brilliant starburst in the Daily Star today, which I don't get because I don't know who this person is. But apparently, and I'm not making this, Miss Bum Bum, Susie Cortez, reckons Messi's penalty miss means Argentina will win the cup as they did in 1978 and 1986 after fluffing penalties. Who's Miss Bum Bum Susie Cortez? Have you heard of her?
Is she Argentinian or?
I don't know. There was no reference to it. That was it. That was what appeared in the paper. You think, isn't okay, as long as she thinks that.
Isn't that a kind of Brazilian beauty pageant that they've had over the years? I think it's been on. It's been on the telly, and we've probably talked about it in 2014. But anyway, I don't know why I remembered that. Oh, yeah, I wonder why. So there we are, Miss Bum Bum. There,
I've got to look her up now. I shouldn't have done that before. Okay.
I bet you have.
Hold on, yeah. She's in my history. Here we go.
She's in my history. Oh, she is. Didn't have to look long.
I think she's Argentinian. She's, oh, you're right, Paul. Miss Bum Bum is an annual beauty pageant held in Brazil to reward the owner of the best buttocks in the country.
Wow. My praise indeed. Yeah.
This podcast just reached a new low.
we haven't organized. We're not the Eric Morley in this situation. We're just reporting it. There we are.
Here we go.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport.
TalkSport.
Well, we turn then to the African nations. I mean, any African nations qualified for the next stage at the last World Cup. But this time around, of course, we have Morocco and Senegal. And we had good performances, a shock win. But I'm sure it will go down incredibly well in Cameroon, that victory over Brazil. It doesn't matter who Brazil put out to go and beat them in the World Cup is a fantastic result. And Ghana gave a good account of themselves at the World Cup as well. So here to chat about that, man we turn to during the African Cup of Nations on African football, a regular voice on the warm-up, of course. Kwaku Afari joins us. Kwaku, hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you getting on?
Yeah, we're not good, too thanks. Bad. We know from AFCON that Ghana are your team, and it wasn't to be today. What did you make of their World Cup overall?
Yeah, it wasn't. And it was almost all geared to the fixture against Uruguay. Revenge, 12 years in the making. We all remember Luis Suarez's handball on the line in South Africa, which denied Ghana a spot in the World Cup semi-final. And if you ask any Ghanaians, they were looking forward to this game more than any other. And it just wasn't to be for Ghana. They put on a good show during this World Cup. Previous to the Uruguay game, they were involved in 2 5-goal thrillers. And they knew that getting a draw would probably be enough in the Uruguay game, but obviously going out there for the win, it just didn't make it happen. Unfortunately and ironically, it was down to another missed penalty. This time, Andre Ayew missed a penalty in the first half, and Uruguay kind of built from there, took a 2-goal lead, and Ghana really, really and truly, if I'm being honest, went out with a whimper. If you look at the way that some of the other African teams have gone out in their final group game, they've really gone and given a good account for themselves. And Ghana, towards their back end of the game against Uruguay, in which they lost 2-0, they were almost more than happy to just see out the game, which meant that Uruguay wouldn't go through as opposed to actually going and trying to get a draw themselves. So it's unfortunate for Ghana that they had to end like this, especially against their biggest rivals in this tournament, which is weirdly a cross-continent rival. But they did give it a good account for themselves.
They did. I felt a bit for Ayew because in this World Cup, because of the VAR, because of the time it takes, how long have these penalty takers had to wait? It's not surprising that we're seeing penalties missed.
Yeah, no, you're completely right. And then we saw the Uruguayans up to some tricks with the penalty spot, trying to scuff up the penalty spot. Darwin Nunez put for that. I was screaming at my TV. And you're right. You're completely right, Andy. It's from when the penalty was given to when Ayew actually took the penalty, it was about three or four minutes. And that gives the penalty taker a lot of time to think. But if you heard Luis Suarez in the pre-match build-up, when he was asked about the penalty, he basically said that he did what he did, and it was up to Asmoah Gyan in that case in 2010 to score the penalty. You, as a penalty taker, you've got the advantage, and it was a poor penalty, if I'm being completely honest, from Andre Ayew, and it means that Ghana missed out on the round 16.
But even before the Cameroon-Brazil game tonight, I heard one of the commentators saying that there was the most wins for African nations in any World Cup. And we've seen two go through, of course, in Senegal and Morocco, and it's going to be a special focus on Senegal because they're playing England. I mean, they were a bit hamstrung at the start by losing Mane. Now they've lost Gay as well, haven't they? With that booking
suspension, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a big blow. That I think he's very important to them.
He is very, very important to them. It's interesting because you see a lot of times with these African nations, these players like Idris Gueye, who we know from his time at Everton and PSG, is a defensive midfielder. He plays a little bit more advanced for Senegal. Obviously, he would have probably retracted a little bit for against England. Aliou Cisse would have had to maybe play a little bit more pragmatically than Senegal will have in this tournament. But it's a huge blow for them. Like you said, Mane missing from the beginning of the tournament has been a huge miss for them as well. They've lacked that focal point or that player who can get them the goals in the crucial times. And they got out of the group in impressive fashion, especially how it started losing against the Netherlands. But I just think against England, the lack of firepower, and like you said, the missing Idriss Gueye is going to be almost too much and a hurdle too far for the Senegal team.
It's very interesting because I don't know if you remember, we probably do, from the last World Cup when Croatia fed on the fact that England were saying football's coming home and they built. El Hadj Diouf has been doing something quite similar for Senegal. He's accused England of believing they've already beaten Senegal and warned it could lead to another famous victory. It's so funny because I can't think of anybody in the England camp thinks this is an easy game. I can't imagine they do or they think they're through. This is a tough game.
This is a very tough game. And it reminds me of England versus Colombia in 2018, the round 16 game, which England won on penalties. I think this game could go a similar way in terms of it might not be decided in 90 minutes. Senegal, if you look at their centre-back partnership, Kalidou Koulibaly, who's really performed for them, he's their rocky, their leader, and he's formed a really nice centre-back partnership with Abdou Diallo, who plays with football for Leipzig. He's on loan from PSG. So they're really defensively solid. So it's going to be difficult for England to break them down. We know how deep Harry Kane likes to drop. And we expect Senegal to pack out the midfield and make life very, very difficult for England and then attempt to hit them on the counter-attack. Ismaël Assar's been the man they've turned to kind of shoulder the attacking burden now that Mane's out. So watch out for him on the left-hand side. He could really cause some problems for whatever right-back Gareth Southgate decides to pick. And if he does beat his man, then he's up against Harry Maguire, who's had some problems with tricky wingers in the Premier League. So that's definitely something to look out for, Ismaël Assar's pace and directness in behind, because they can try and catch England on the counter-attack.
Yeah, I think that... Oh, sorry, I was going to say it,
the things that worry me are the fact that they will get into England, they'll close them down, they'll harry them, and they'll, you know, they could force them into mistakes. And you know, possibly pick up a goal in that way, because England can have a rick in them now and again. And the other thing is penalties, Quaker, because their record in penalty shootouts recently has been really good, isn't it? And like, you know, they've had a decent success rate. I mean, they've beaten Egypt in a couple, haven't they, in recent years?
Yeah, so that's how they won the AFCON title, beating Egypt on penalties. They've got a strong keeper in Edouard Mendy, who had a shaky start to the tournament against Netherlands, where he was at fault for both of their goals, to be honest. But he made a comeback in the games against Qatar and Ecuador and made a few key saves for them. And he's going to be very, very important for them. And if they can take his penalties, they'll fancy their chances. They know the pressure will be on England. Everybody in England is expecting that to not be a walkover, but expected England to win that game. So the pressure we piled on England, and Aliou Cisse has been very, very tactically astute throughout the whole tournament in terms of changing up his team and ensuring that his players are geared and set and prepped for the opposition they're playing. So it's not going to be a walk in the park, but I do think that without that player that's going to put the ball in the back of the net, it's going to be a little bit of a struggle for Senegal against England.
We should move on to Morocco, Spain, because, you know, beating Belgium and Croatia in their group, they're going to go into this confident. Again, they're not expected to get a result against Spain, but they've looked, whenever I've watched them, they've looked really decent. And I, you know, maybe this is going to be a tougher game.
Ziyech is about 10 times better than he is for Chelsea.
Yeah, he's been great, isn't he?
All these Chelsea players that are turning up in the World Cup, Kai Havertz getting the brace the other day, Ziyech turning up, Koulibaly and Mendy performing. But
Kovacic was great yesterday, yeah.
Kovacic as well. But when they put on the blue shirt and they play at Stamford Bridge, they seem to fall apart. Pulisic as well. But yeah, Morocco have been really, really impressive. Probably the most impressive African side in this tournament. It's based on defensive solidity. If you look at their back four, Mazraoui, who plays for Bayern Munich and he's featured heavily this season, Roman Saiss, who Wolves fans will remember well, he now plays football at Besiktas, Naim Aguerd, who West Ham signed for 30 million in the summer, and Ashraf Hakimi, who plays PSG and is one of the best right backs in the world. So it's based on being solid defensively and then relying on the mercurial talents of Hakim Ziyech, who is a man, he's rejuvenated, really.
Yeah.
He was on a kind of self-imposed exile after falling out with the previous head coach. And if you look at him in this tournament, he looks like a completely different player. He's got all the confidence in the world. And they will fancy themselves against Spain. I do feel sorry for them. They finished top of their group and you're probably expecting a slightly easier game in the round of 16. But the way the results have fallen, they've drawn Spain. But they will go into this game with full confidence because they know they can defend and they've got some attacking players that can cause Spain some real problems.
Yeah, I think they can beat Spain, I do.
Yeah, should be good. Excellent. Quakey, really appreciate that. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Enjoy the games.
Nice one, guys. Take it easy.
Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from TalkSport. TalkSport.
Well, let's turn then to England in the big game on Sunday, having looked at the threat that Senegal pose. All the talk is of the first 11, Sareth Gouthgate.
Very late. I like him.
He's very good. Good old Sareth Gouthgate. Yes, Gareth Southgate will put out, and whether he should stick with a team that did so well, should Rashford keep his place? Let's have a chat with a man we've been talking England with throughout the last few weeks. Dom Smith joins us from England fans. Oh, good afternoon. Oh, I've done it again. Good evening, Dom.
Evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Yes,
not
good,
too bad, thank you. I know, look, I know it's dark outside, but you know, it's just muscle memory. So let's ask you. It's a simple question, really. What do you think he's going to do? How do you think? Do you think he's going to make many changes or any changes, or and will he change formation?
Well, I mean, the understandable opinion from most England fans now will be that they want to see Rashford and Foden again. You know, the thing is with England is that there's such an embarrassment of riches in the wide areas that you kind of whoever has performed like most recently well is the players that we want to see again. But I would expect him to follow kind of what you'd have expected him to do before the Wales game, knowing that Rashford and Foden were playing. And I think he will go back to Bukayo Saka and Raheem Sterling. And actually, I would say that's what he probably ought to do as well. That's what I would do if I were in his position.
Really? And what about, would it be Foden for Mount? Would you see him there or Madison? Where do you see, or do you think he'll go back to Mount?
I think he might actually, I think the one thing that we've taken from the Wales game that I think actually he might stick with is the midfield that played in that game. I think Rice with two kind of roaming eights ahead of him being Jude Bellingham and Jordan Henderson actually worked quite well. And I actually think he might repeat that. I'm not sure that's going to go down too badly actually, because I'm not convinced England fans overall as a mass are particularly sold on Mason Mount, actually. He's obviously a more attacking player than Jordan Henderson. And therefore, you'd expect kind of the Twitter sphere to find him more exciting. But Henderson is maybe a player of a slightly higher pedigree than Mason Mount, potentially. But also,
a much more experienced player, you know, much different player. Yeah. You're right, Mount. I think Mount's an attacker. I don't see him as a midfielder at all.
No, I agree. And so that's why I think in the latter stages now, if he's going to play a midfield three and he's going to stick with four at the back, then I think his midfield three might become Rice, Henderson and Bellingham. I think if he genuinely saw Phillips as being not fit enough, but having played enough game time this season to genuinely challenge, then he would have played Phillips from the start rather than Henderson. Given that Henderson started that Wales game and Phillips only came on late on for his first minutes of the tournament, I think we can consider Calvin Phillips not really a serious rival to take Mason Mount's place. But I think that Jordan Henderson is a genuine rival, and I actually think we might see him again.
Also, the way he is on the pitch, we've all heard it. You can hear him. He's like the manager on the pitch, so you can see why he likes it.
And in a game where, you know, there will be pressure on England, certainly, you're going to need some cool heads out there. There's been a few people suggesting, Dom, that Harry Kane shouldn't play as he hasn't scored yet. They seem to have forgotten that assist for Foden out of absolutely nowhere. Well,
they seem to have forgotten his last 6-7 years, then, haven't they?
I mean, I do find it staggering. Obviously, I'm biased, but I do find it staggering. There's a lot of people out there that don't think he's worthy of a start.
Harry Kane is not a conventional striker. If you think he's worth comparing to someone like Erling Haaland, who really is a player who finishes off chances and does, I'll be honest, you know, very little else besides that, you know, you're kidding yourself. He's involved in so much of England's attacks. And over the Southgate era, there has been a real dearth of truly good midfield options. You know, England have got a few good midfielders now. They've got Declan Rice, they've got Jude Bellingham. But have they had kind of cultured Spanish-style midfielders throughout Southgate's reign? No, I think it's fair to say they haven't. And Kane has utilised that ability to drop back, to spray passes wide, to all manner of different profile of attackers out wide, and he's done it to great effect. I mean, if I can take the most famous goal of Southgate's era, is the goal which Luke Shaw scored less than 2 minutes into the Euros final. That happened because Kane dropped back, played wide to Trippier, England went on and scored, and we're ahead in a major final less than 2 minutes into the game. Look, Harry Kane, if you think that Harry Kane hasn't contributed this tournament, you're wrong. You know, he's assisted three of England's goals. That's a third of the goals that England have scored in this tournament so far. And the, you know, also it might be tempting to suggest a change, but you should only change anyone on a football pitch if you've got a better option to come in. And Callum Wilson is in good form and came into the tournament in good form, but is he a better option than Harry Kane? I mean, of course he's not. You have to stick with Kane.
No, I completely agree. Well, Dom, what do you think? You want to give us a score prediction?
Okay, I will go with 2-0. Not a particularly inspiring performance, but a professional one. Maybe in the mould of England's win over Sweden at the 2018 World Cup in the quarterfinals. That sort of a win. Yeah. I don't see it. You know, I understand the temptation to say, "Oh, it's going to go to extra time and penalties." Just because we're into that sort of that part of the tournament, but it could now. That doesn't mean that it will. I think Senegal are, they're a good side, but they're a beatable side. They're going to be without Idrissa Gueye and obviously Sadio Mane, who's injured for the entire tournament. So I think England have got more than enough to get through, and I would say 2-0 probably.
Yeah, and Kouyaté as well, who looks like he's not going to play. So that's three big players for them. So I think that's a pretty sensible prediction. We hope you're right. Dom, thank you very much, as always. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
There we are, Dom Smith there from englandfootball.org. So, Andy, before we go, let's have a look at tomorrow's games. We start at 3 o'clock with the Netherlands versus the United States.
Netherlands haven't been great, have they? They've been getting away with it a bit. I quite fancy America in that. I think they'll surprise a few. Obviously, it depends on Pulisic if he's going to be 100%. But
yeah, that's right. You know what? I think this could be a long, old game. I think this could be an extra time and Penn's job. I mean, you're right. Apart from sort of Gakpo, they don't look that dangerous going forward.
Yeah.
So I think we could be in for a lot. I think there could be one each and Penn's. So that should be interesting. And then in the evening, it is Argentina versus Australia. I know we chatted to Aaron and said, you know, if they could nick a goal, put the pressure on Argentina, you just feel they're going to have a bit too much for them, aren't they, really?
I think so. I think Argentina will win that.
Yeah. Well, and then on Sunday, we'll be back with you on the Sunday after the England game, before England play Senegal at 7. We've got France, Poland at three. And yeah, I mean, I cannot see Poland suddenly starting to turn it on. They've been pretty terrible so far. They've limped right through to this stage. And I think they could get a bit of a kicking by France, actually.
Not unless there's a Polish version of Chesney Hawks.
Yeah, well, maybe there is. A one-hit wonder from Warsaw or something. I don't know, possibly. All right, then, look, we'll be back on Sunday after the England game to pore over that performance and indeed all the other games over the weekend. We do hope you can join us then. Just a reminder that the Clips of the Week podcast also dropped today. So we did a fresh run for you. That's podcast only right now. So if you want to go and check out the Clips of the Week, you can find it wherever you found this podcast. So until Sunday night, enjoy all the football, especially England, Senegal, and we'll catch up with you then.
Talk Sport. Hawksby and Jacobs Daily World Cup Podcast from Talk Sport.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift-giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.